usually if God changes my heart on a Sunday morning before church, it happens pretty early in the morning, probably 4 o'clock in the morning. I wake up and God says, you throw that out the window. We're going to preach something else. But I woke up this morning ready to preach John 14:6, and I got ready this morning. I prepared and I worked on the outline for John 14:6, and it wasn't until about an hour before church that God said, we're not going to preach John 14:6. And he put this passage of scripture on my heart. And so you bear with me, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to try and preach it here this morning. I hope that something said could be a blessing or an encouragement to you. I'll ask you to take your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter number 5 this morning. Romans chapter number 5. And we're going to look at a majority of this text here, but there's one particular verse that we're going to hone in on this morning that we're going to focus in on, my favorite verse in all the Bible. But I want to begin reading here this morning in Romans in chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You say, who is that he's talking to? Who is that ungodly? That is you and I that Christ died for. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also glory in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And we're going to look at much of this text that we've read here this morning, but if you leave out of here this morning, there's one thing I want you to know. It's that God loves you. And that he doesn't want you to die and go to hell. He doesn't want you separated from him for all eternity. But he wishes that you would spend eternity worshiping him and praising in him with his presence up with there with the angels, with the heavenly host in heaven for all of eternity. That's what God wills here this morning. I know what the reformers say. I know what the Bible scholars might say, that God would predestine and that God would will for some to suffer in eternal torment forever. But I'll have you to know that my Bible says that God is not slack concerning his promise, and that he is not slack as much some men count slackness, but that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Make no mistake here this morning, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, I don't know some of you from Adam here this morning, but I do know this, that when our Lord Jesus was on the cross, you were on his mind. Amen. And according to the authority and the foundation that we have upon the scriptures here this morning, we can say boldly and understand that Christ did indeed taste death for every man. Amen. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been. The cross doesn't discriminate, amen? Amen? God wills that each and every single one of us here this morning will be saved by his grace. And no doubt we're here on a Sunday morning, faithful in the house of the Lord. I'm talking to a bunch of saved folks, but in a crowd this size, I'd hate to imagine there wouldn't just be one in here this morning, perhaps, that's not saved, that's not on their way to heaven. And let me tell you something, as a Christian, you're saved, you hear a salvation message, you hear the gospel preached. If you got a problem with that, there's something wrong. I never get tired of the sweet old story of how God still saves sinners, amen. I'm glad that he's still reclaiming backsliders. He's still edifying the saints. Listen to me, friend. There's not one aspect of my Christian life or yours that couldn't use some work. Hey, he's still working on me, amen. He's still got the clay on the potter's wheel. It's still turning. There's still imperfections. There's still impurities that he's picking out, and he's shaping it, and he's conforming it, and he's making it to the image of his son so that he can put it on display for people to see, in the grace of God to be shed abroad in this wicked world as a light that shineth in darkness. God's saving power has always been the message of the gospel and the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, and he died for us.
Amen.
We've read in the text here that the Bible will say that patience and experience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Amen.
If you're not sharing the love of Christ with others, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible tells us that when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Right.
I don't really have a title for this message. God just told me to preach it just a little while ago. But if I were to title it, if it were my last message, I'd want to call it Jesus Saves. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray this morning. Father, we need you this morning. God, we need your touch. Lord, you know that I'm insufficient for this task, and Lord, that it ain't got nothing to do with me or anybody here, but Father, if your Holy Spirit would just fall upon us in great power and demonstration this morning, we know that by your will, great things will be accomplished, that people will be brought to salvation, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the baptisms to follow the service. We pray that they be special, Lord, that they be blessed. And Lord, I pray that you just help us in here this morning to see Jesus, Lord, to examine our own hearts. And Lord, help us to realize in here this morning that it was you and your love and your sacrifice that saves us, Lord. And Father, it's not the baptistry, it's not the church, it's not the preacher. It doesn't have anything to do with that, Lord. It's all about you and what you did for us. And God, we just pray that you'll help us to preach tonight with power, with love, with a sound mind. Give us great grace to worship in spirit and in truth, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely will a righteous man, one will die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. And he says this right here, but God commendeth his love toward us. And I love the King James Bible. I don't know how you feel about it here this morning, but I believe by personal conviction that every jot, every tittle, every word, every T that is crossed, every I that is dotted in that book is there by the breath of the Holy Ghost of God, preserved by God for His people, and I don't believe there's one mistake in that book. And I love that the Bible will tell us that God commends His love toward us. We'll call this our commendation. But God commendeth His love toward us. It's to give something. It's to show something. It's to present something to someone. Now, I couldn't do up here with all the preaching in the world, all the time in the world, and do justice to stand up here and try to explain the love of God. Brother Billy Kelly said, trying to explain the love of God is like trying to hug a mountain. You just can't get it done. But I began to think this morning, Brother Larry, about the love of God and what I could say about it and what little bit that I might know about it. And I began to think about how that it is such a pure love. Such a pure love. Untainted by the world. Untainted by sin. Untainted by the wickedness and the things that might try and creep into relationships that we might have with one another on this earth. There's no doubt we've got husbands and wives, we've got mothers and daughters, we've got sons and grandfathers and things of that nature on here this morning. No doubt there's a lot of love in this place here this morning, but no love compares to the love that God has for you and I. Is such a pure love. I've never got to worry about whether or not I'm going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed with God. Now, I'm not talking about getting out of fellowship with God. I'm not talking about being an enemy of God if I'm unsaved. What I'm talking about is I'm never worried that I'm going to do something that's going to make God love me any less than He loves me.
Amen.
The Bible says that true love, pure love, it casteth out all fear. Listen to me. The only reason I can stand in the pulpit here this morning, the only reason I can tell somebody that Jesus loves them and go out and try and do anything for God is because I know He's with me and I know He loves me.
Amen.
With a pure and with a holy love. It's a perfect love. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. I remember I was walking off the front porch of the church after a Sunday morning. I was speaking with Brother Daniel Irvin, a missionary sent out of our church here to Scotland, and we were talking about the love of God and the character of God and the person of God. And I said, there's nothing in this world that we could imagine or dream up more perfect than He is. Brother Daniel said, I would not change one thing about Him if I could. The fact of the matter is, here this morning, we can't, but we wouldn't if we wanted to, because listen here today. God is so perfect. God is so holy. God is so righteous. I'm at a loss for words this morning because I simply can't put it into words just how magnificent, just how wonderful, just how immaculate, just how perfect the love of God is for us. And that's the very love that He offers you and I. He commends it towards us. It is a permeating love. Peter said, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. He is gracious. Amen. My pastor would say it this way. Some folks need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Because once you've felt the love of God in your life, once you've felt the love of God and it's become real in your life, it's going to change some things. It's going to begin to permeate. It's going to begin to penetrate every aspect of your life and soak into every single thing that you do. Everything you say, everything you watch, everywhere you go, your speech is going to change. Everything about you is going to be different once the love of God gets in the middle of it. Amen. It's going to change everything about your life. No one gets saved by God's grace and isn't changed.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't know about that. I prayed a prayer one time when I was a little kid and not a whole lot's changed. You didn't get salvation the way the Bible says.
Amen.
You didn't receive that second birth. And I'm not here to tell you this morning who's unsaved and unsaved. I'm just saying this. You shall know a tree by their fruits. And the love of God is such a permeating love that when it gets on somebody's life, you're going to know it.
Amen.
You're going to be able to tell. It's a protective love. The Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, the Bible said that when we were without God, we were alienated, the enemies of God, we were against God, we were sinning, we were doing what we thought was right in our own eyes. Lewis Sperry Schaeffer said in his book on theology that the devil's objective is twofold, to oppose God and to exalt self. The objective of salvation, the reason that we're saved is so that we might be holy. John said in John chapter number 3 and verse number 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. So just as the devil wishes for us to oppose God and to exalt ourselves, God wishes for us to exalt Him, to glorify Him, to lift Him up, to praise Him, and that we ourselves might be abased, that we ourselves might be humbled, that we ourselves might be brought down so that people can see God in our lives. The less of us there is to see, the more of God people are going to see in our lives.
Amen.
That's what the love of God will do for your life. It'll humble you. It'll make you small. You won't want to care about your own desires and your own inhibitions, your own things. You're just going to want to follow God. You're just going to lift up God. You're just going to want to magnify God with your life because He commendeth it towards us. It's not only a protecting love, but it is a preserving love. Just three chapters from what we'll read here this morning in Romans chapter number 8, Paul say this, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the kind of God, that's the kind of love that God offers you and I here this morning.
Amen. Amen.
A love that's pure, a love that's perfect, a love that's permeating, that's protective, that's preserving. That's the kind of love that God offers you and I this morning. You know, I can't help but think when I read that verse, every time I read that verse, I think of how that God showed it to us, how that God offered it to us, how that God didn't just say that He loved us, but He showed us He loved us.
Amen.
And you and I know this morning there's a great difference in somebody saying they love you and somebody showing you they love you.
Amen.
Jesus said, I commendeth my love towards them. You'll not find a greater love story in the Bible, or in all the world for that matter, than what happened at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
And make no mistake here this morning, understand this. God does not love you this morning because of what happened at the cross. What happened at the cross happened this morning because God loves you. Because He willed that you be saved. Because He was willing to lay down His life. He was not murdered. He was not forced against His will. He willingly laid down His life that He might pick it up again, that He might gloriously resurrect, that He might reconcile sinners unto Himself. You say sinners, that's exactly who He came to save. The Pharisees, they came to Jesus. He said, well, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not holding the letter of the law, you didn't wash your hands before you ate that bread, what are you doing here? And Jesus told him, He said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, I came to call sinners. Understand this morning, you cannot be saved by the grace of God if you do not realize that you need saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
No one comes a Christian because of convenience. If they do, that's not John 3:3 salvation. You don't get convinced to become a Christian. You get convicted into becoming a Christian.
Amen.
You realize that you're unclean. You realize that you're unholy. You realize that you don't deserve the grace of God. You don't deserve the mercy of God. You don't deserve the gift of salvation and what Jesus did at the cross. And you realize that without God, you'll perish. You'll be separated from Him. You see yourself as a sinner and you call upon the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He commendeth us, our commendation and our condition. We are indeed sinners. It says, in that while we were yet sinners. Now there's a past tense article here, were. I want to take just a moment and teach and make a distinction here. Everybody in this room is a sinner this morning. There's no doubt about that. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. But there is a difference between those who have received the atonement, those who have received the gift of salvation, those who have received the grace of God, sinners who are saved by grace. And the Bible calls them saints.
Amen.
I hear people say all the time, and I probably had it said about me a time or two, they say, well, they ain't no saint. Well, see, the reason with that thinking is they think that some man in a dress has got a Venify or verify or whatever it said to do about this person, and they weigh up their good works and say, well, that person's a saint. And by men's standards, they're saying that person deserves that title. I mean, today, I didn't even know it was St. Patrick's Day today till yesterday. I had no idea. A lot of people have misconstrued this idea of sainthood and what it is. If you're saved by the grace of God, That little six-year-old girl we're going to baptize after service, God says she is a saint.
Amen.
And listen to me. It's not according to the standards of men.
Amen.
It's not according to the standards of the world. I don't go around and say and pick and choose, well, this is the saint part of the church, these are the saints, and these are the sinners, and these are this and that. The only difference between a saint and a sinner is the grace of God. It's got nothing to do with you and I or our good works. The Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
That's it. Hallelujah.
And I'm not going to ask you to confess and sin this morning, but you and I both know the things that are hidden from men that are not hidden from God, that God knows all about. Your deepest, most darkest secrets. In the heat of your lusts and the things that you've tried to hide from God and the things that you've tried to hide from people, God knows about every single one of them. And God sees those and says, I love you so much I'm going to die to take care of that.
Amen.
Because that sin separates you and I from God. That sin is what takes us to hell. Disobedience, because listen to me, we cannot meet the standard of holiness that God has set for ourselves.
Amen.
We cannot meet that standard. That's why Jesus came to this earth,
amen,
sinless, perfect, holy, pictured as the Lamb of God, without spot or blemish. He never did one thing wrong. He never sinned in His life. And He's the one who took our place.
Amen.
In that while we were yet sinners, the only difference is the grace of God here this morning.
Amen.
He said, preacher, if you knew the things I've done, if you knew the places I've been, if you knew the sins I committed, you wouldn't say all that. Listen to me. The Bible says that He loves you.
Amen.
That He came to die for sinners.
Amen.
Just like you and I. That's our condition here this morning. And without God, understand this, there is no unity with God outside of salvation.
Amen.
There's a lot of people, they want to rail on the Bible and rail on the God of Christianity, the Jehovah God of the Bible. And they say, why would a God that loves the way that they say Jesus loves, why would He send anybody to hell? Understand this, love by definition is freely given. God is not going to force you to love Him. If He did, that wouldn't be love. God is not going to force you to spend eternity in heaven with Him. He's not going to force you into His presence. If someone treats you that way, that's not love.
Amen.
But by definition, it's freely given. You know what He does? He came and He offered Himself on Calvary's cross. He shed every drop of blood that He had on the cross, and He poured out His soul unto death, and the wrath of God was satisfied as He made atonement for you and I. And He said, I'm willing to go the extra mile. I'm willing to go to any extent. I'm willing to go and suffer great loss and die so that they can be saved. Why? Because He loves us.
Amen.
And because of what Jesus did on the cross, my Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Now you have a choice this morning. You have a choice to accept God's grace and to accept God's love and to accept God's Son for who He is, Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, walked this earth for 33 and a half years, sinless and perfect and holy. No guile was found in His mouth, not one blemish, not one imperfection. And that He died on Calvary's cross to pay for your sin, to be the substitution for you and I, and that He gloriously rose the third day. You can believe that in your heart and accept that and call upon the name of the Lord. Confess to Him that you're a sinner and that you need saved. Or you can reject that. You'll have no access to God. And we sing about heaven, and listen to me, I'm just as excited to get to heaven as anybody to see that gate of pearl and that street of gold. I'm excited for that this morning. But those aren't what makes heaven wonderful.
Amen.
What makes heaven wonderful is the presence of God. And if you choose to reject God's gift this morning, you will burn for eternity in hell.
Amen. That's right.
And the worst part isn't the fire.
That's right.
And the worst part isn't the screams. And the worst part isn't not having your loved ones there.
Yeah.
The worst part is being separated from God.
That's exactly it.
Not knowing God, not feeling God. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we've seen our commendation and our condition, but I want us to see lastly, and most importantly, our Christ. The Bible says in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
That word Christ, what it means, it's the New Testament variant. It's the New Testament variant of the Old Testament word Messiah, the Deliverer, the Redeemer, the Chosen One that God would send to redeem His people. And in order to fulfill that office, in order to fulfill, to hold that title, you had to be all three of the anointed positions in Israel. The king, the prophet, the priest. The priest, his job was to relieve the guilt of the people. I say Jesus did a pretty good job of that at Calvary, wouldn't you? The job of the prophet was to reveal God to people. I can think of no better revelation of God than when the Word became flesh and dwelt among men and we beheld its glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And the job of the king was to rule the government of the people. And there's coming a day when the government will be upon his shoulder. And you and I, whether you like to or not, whether you're willing or whether you're unwilling, will be subject to His rule and His reign for all of eternity. That Christ, the God of heaven, the God who spoke into existence everything you've ever known as reality, everything you've ever tasted, everything you've ever touched, everything you've ever seen, every cloud you've seen roll through the sky, God shaped it and formed it and created it, and not one thing is out of His control. That God.
Amen.
The God who is sovereign enough that when you wake up in the morning and the sunlight dances through the beams of your blinds and you see those particles floating through the air, God put every single one of those there and it's fulfilling the purpose that He created it for. A God who's that big said, you know what I'll do? I'll go to Calvary. I'll bleed and I'll die. I'll suffer many things so that I can save my people from their sins. We sang that song just a few moments ago. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. Do you know Him this morning? Is He your Christ this morning? Are you 100% certain that if you were to die this very moment, that you would go to heaven and be with Him? Because if you're not sure, I'd get sure today.
Amen.
I'd get things right today. I'd make sure things were right with God today. Because listen, the people that sit in the pews with you, they love you, but they can't get you to heaven.
Amen.
I love you, but I can't get you to heaven. Jesus, the Bible said, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You don't get to heaven any other way than Jesus Christ. The other false gods, the other false idols and oracles of God are dead and their bones are wrapped away and laid in a grave somewhere. There are idols hewn out of stone and made of wood and made of jewels and made of precious metals that have ears and they have hands, but they can't hear your prayers. They can't touch your life. But Jesus Christ, the righteous,
Amen.
Sits at the right hand of the throne of God. He makes intercession for you and I. And the Bible says that He gave Himself, that Christ died for us, much more now being justified by His blood. The record of my righteousness depends not on what I've done or who I am. It's dependent upon who He is and on what He did at Calvary. We're justified by His blood. For if then we were enemies of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. He doesn't just cleanse us. He doesn't just forgive us. He doesn't just make us whole. He saves us by His grace. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, Amen. Once a year, the Feast of the Tabernacles on the Day of Atonement, that priest would take that lamb that pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'd be spotless and without blemish, and there were rites and passages and ceremonial laws that they would observe, and the blood of that lamb would be put into that basin, and he would pass through that curtain into that holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And to the people of God, that signified the presence of God. That's where God was, and nobody couldn't even pass through that except once a year, and he couldn't get there unless he had the blood. And on top of that chest where the tablets of stone and Aaron's rod and the manna from heaven sat inside that chest, there was a gold lid called the mercy seat where the golden cherubims were fixed and their wings touched, and they signified the glory and the presence and the holiness of God. And he would take that blood once a year and he would pour it over that mercy seat.
Amen.
You know what it did? It provided an atonement. Now listen to me here this morning. That blood of those lambs and bulls and goats and doves and oxen never once forgave anybody's sins.
Amen.
But the obedience and the faith that those people had stayed the wrath of God. That's why none of the Old Testament saints went to heaven until Jesus ascended.
Amen.
The Bible said, no man hath ascended up to heaven at any time except he that first descended. Right. Speaking of Jesus. Amen. Nobody could get into heaven until the glory of heaven itself, Jesus Christ, Amen. Left heaven. And if you read in your Bibles on the day of the resurrection, when the ladies, when Mary sees Jesus, she goes to touch Him, she wants to worship Him, she wants to praise Him. He says, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Later, He'll tell Thomas to touch His wounds, to touch His side. You know what He was doing between that time? He went up and ascended to the Father, and He took the blood of Calvary and put it on top of that mercy Amen. Seat and said, they have access now.
Amen.
You and I that are saved, we Amen. Sing those songs about the blood. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. We sing those songs about the blood. And you might be in here this morning. That doesn't mean anything to you. That blood doesn't mean anything to you because you don't know the love of God. You don't know the love of Christ. You don't know for certain where you're going to spend eternity when you die. Listen to me this morning. Do not pass up an opportunity to get saved this morning.
Amen.
This might be the last clear presentation of the gospel you ever hear with your ears. And if you die and you go to hell, you're going to go to hell over the blood of Christ.
That's right.
Over the preaching of the gospel. Over the prayers who loved you. Of those who loved you and have sought to see you saved and have invited you to church or tried to bring you to church. I'm here to tell you this morning, God loves you and He doesn't want you to die and be separated from Him.
Amen.
He wills that you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus saves this morning. The blood of Christ still saves this morning. The gospel's still true this morning. And He still says, whosoever will.
Amen.
Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed. There's nobody looking around but you and I. Every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning. Now, folks have come to the altar to pray here this morning. Christians have come to the altar to pray and just thank God for the blood. Thank God for free salvation through Jesus Christ. If that's you in here this morning and you want to get up on this altar and just thank God that He showed you mercy, that He gave you grace, that He was willing to come and shed His blood to die just for you. Listen to me this morning. If it had been just you to get saved, if it had been just you and everybody else would have went to hell, Jesus would have still came down from heaven. Jesus would have still borne the cross. Jesus would have still shed His blood. Jesus would have still offered the free gift of salvation. If it was only you, maybe you want to come and thank Him this morning. Maybe you're in here this morning and you're not saved. And you know you're not saved. And you pillow your head at night and you might be trusting many things. You might be trusting your finances, your job. You might be trusting in something else to get you to heaven. But I promise you, nothing's going to cut it but Jesus. If you're in here this morning and you're not saved by the grace of God, would you be honest enough to just raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I've never trusted in Jesus Christ to save me before." If that's you, will you raise your hand? There's nobody looking but me. Nobody looking but me this morning. See, I've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. If that's you, will you raise your hand? If you're in here this morning and you're not saved, and you don't wish to be separated from God for all eternity, you want to get things right with God today, I invite you to come to the altar this morning. I would love nothing more in this world than to take a Bible and show you how you can just call upon the name of the Lord, trust in His grace, and be saved. Oh, there's not a greater peace, there's not a greater joy in this world than knowing you're on your way to heaven. Knowing that things are well with your soul. There's not a greater love in this world than the love of Christ. Jesus saves this morning. I invite you to come.